session number 13038, reel 1.
What did you think when you went back then?
When I went back there?
Yes.
Well, it was just like digging up old coins, you know. Did you, you went to where these chaps are buried there, I suppose?
Yes.
The Australians, New Zealanders and everything.
Yes. We went all around.
You did?
Yeah, we stayed for about a week.
You went to Cape Ellis?
Yes.
We went to see their memorial they put?
Yes.
They've got now. And is that man still up on the cliff there?
Yes, that's right.
Still
Chanak.
There.
Yes.
Oh, they certainly gave us a good idea, and there's no doubt about that. And there's a lot to do in the in there about why the Turks themselves, what they said about the ships being sunk in there. So it was all down there. So that was the Turkish Turks' own tale about it. There's one thing that did surprise me was that the Turks said that they lost considerably more than we did. Well, that may be so. They certainly did, I suppose. The 29th Division landed at Cape Ellis. That was a bloody affair, of course. That was pretty bad. And then we... When I landed round on the left flank of the Turks, right round Lala Baba. Did you know where Lala Baba
was?
Well, that's where we landed there. And there's a salt lake there in those days. I don't know if it's still there.
It's still there, just the same.
Oh, it is.
Mm.
That was a strange thing there. You wander through those things and see what you make of them.
Shall I have a look in the bag?
Yeah,
shall
I? You go through them and I can tell you more than I can.
When did you first... join the army then? If you were in the territorials, it must have been some time before.
Oh, yes, in 1908 I joined in the territorial army.
Do you remember why did you decide to join up then?
Well,
were a lot of your friends joining up as well?
Case of patriotism. There was such a word that used in those days. And that's why I joined.
Did a lot of your friends join?
Oh, yes, we all did. The local people, they all did. In fact, all the crowd all those lads that were killed, they all came from around locally, around Islington, you know.
Is that where you came from?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that's where I came from.
And what did you do in the army before the war? Did you used to parade?
Oh, yes, we had all those. It was quite a good affair. We used to march all over the place and have Oh, yes, we made quite a job of it in those days, of course.
Did you have one particular drill hall?
Yes, we did, in Fenton Street. That was where we were. And it was pulled down eventually and after the First World War, it was pulled down, but it was quite a good place. Well, we used to be 1,000 blokes here, you know. Of course, now, when I joined the army, there was 8 companies to a battalion, you see. And they altered that after a time, but 8 companies was quite a lot. There's 120 into a company, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which company were you in?
I was in B Company, but that's not quite true. I was a machine gunner, really. I ran a machine gun company, and Harding, when you met Harding, he was at that time, he was sent to me as a machine gun officer. That was in 1914 when he joined. His mother's darling, he looked lovely, and he was only a boy of 18 then, and he did look something. You wander through those and do anything you like with them.
Well, shall I'll go looking through the bag and I'll carry on asking you questions. Is that all
I'd
right?
like you to do that, because that's a better way of doing it.
Yes.
You see what's in there. Of course, there's a lot of...
There might be something in there.
Eh?
Let's see, now that's Spain, I think.
There's a lot of photograph stuff in there and all that.
Do you remember much about the mobilisation?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me something about that?
What did the mobilisation?
Yes.
Oh, well, it was rather amusing. When that started, in August 1914, we were on our way to Aldershot. And we got to Waterloo Station. And the sergeant major came up and he said, "You can all bugger off home," he said, "because there was a war on now, and within a few days you'll get your mobilisation papers." He was dead right, but he did. Within 3 days we got them, and we went back again to where we started from. But we never got to Aldershot, nor on that occasion. Anyway, I'd been there before, of course. But that's where we were going when the war broke out. Instead of which we went back to our own drill hall and we mobilised, went to the agricultural hall, which was the big place in those days, and we were all there. Then we went from there to another place and another and so on. What can you think of?
Well, where did you go on to after the agricultural hall?
Oh, after the agricultural hall, we went to Hatfield, where we were mobilised. We marched there and all that sort of thing. And we were in a farm at Hatfield. And then we went from Hatfield. We went from Hatfield, of course, to the boat to Gallipoli. That's where we went. We went on the Aquitania. We went on, there was a boat we went on, and there was over 1,000 blokes on that. Now I've got a lot of feet and so managed to sink there, but he didn't.
It was crowded, was it?
Good Lord, yes. Mind you, they didn't the chances they took on this. I mean, you think the whole battalions on that was more or less a division on it, I think. And we all did our jobs anyway.
What was the voyage like? Do you remember?
Oh, the voyage was all right. We left Liverpool and then the boat swerved backwards and forwards like that, you know, dodging the submarines. Of course, that's what they were dodging. And we went backwards and forwards like that until we got, and then went off. And went such a pace, of course, that they couldn't keep up with it. In fact, the destroyers couldn't keep up with it, Aquitaine had that when she got going. There was five destroyers took us out of Liverpool, and that to drop us after a while because the boat was going such a speed.
Did you stop anywhere in the Mediterranean? Did you stop at Malta?
Yes, well...
Or did you go straight to Mudros?
We went to Mudros, of course, eventually. Mm. But we put up a jib just for a few hours, that was all. Then we went on to Malta, and from there to Gallipoli and Mudros. And then from Mudros, of course, when we got there, that's where the Aquitania docked into Mudros Harbour. And then what happened was that we had to get out of that boat into another one and so on. Small boats to take us out. And we went out for the landing, and that was what was going to happen then. We went out and we pulled up under the lee of a damn great battleship, and where we had to swap again into the naval boats that was going to take us for the landing, which they did. So about half a dozen boats at a time, drawn by a pinnace, you know, took us to the landing stage where we jumped out into the water and up the beaches. Well, we went up, it wasn't too bad, but in some place it was pretty rough. Turks, they shelled the battleship. That's why we had to go under the lee of the battleship to get into these other boats, you see. The Turks were shelling the great big battleship wherever we were. And that's where we got going. When we did get on, of course, we eventually went round to the left flank. We went to the Turkish left flank, my lot did. And it was rather funny. What was the water on the other side of the other side? There was because around that, as we went around, there was a destroyer there which was shelling the left flank of the Turks. The Turks, of course, they ran right the way across like that, and they the Munsters were taking them on, and we went to join the Munsters in this doing something. And the Turks were this little destroyer was shelling there where they were dug in. See, they were like theirs was a they were on the cliffs, you see, and they were, and the Munsters were taking them on, and of course we went to join them eventually, and that's how it went.
So that was over on the Tall Hills, was it?
Yes.
Was that straight after you landed, or 2 or 3 days after?
Well, that was just as we landed to. We went up there from Lalibaba. We went round there and up the I forget the name of the damn great hill up that side. But
I think it's called the Kirich Tepe Ridge.
It was. That's right. Yeah. And we went round there and up the side, and that's where we started. The other business. Excuse me, now I just run around. Won't be a second.
That was 6 months. Too long.
In the summer, it was blazing. It was too hot to hold our rifle barrels. And in the winter, it was so damn cold. And we was in called the Akul Derry, a great long dry water course. That's where we were dug in all along there. It was pretty murderous, that was.
Did you stay there the whole time? You weren't wounded?
Oh, no.
You were there the whole...
Oh, I had to put up with the whole damn shoot of it. And that was only 6 months of the 6 years. After that, of course, after Kitchener water out, we went to Alexandria. And then to Egypt, the Suez Canal, and then started the Palestine campaign against the Turkish army again. So that was how it went.
Was there a big difference between Gallipoli and Palestine?
Of course, well, yes, I would say it was. Palestine was... Of course, Gaza was a pretty bloody affair, there was no doubt about that, that was. And the Palestine campaign was a bit hot, but generally speaking, it was easy compared with Gallipoli. Of course, it lasted quite a long time, of course, that did it. Lasted for years, the Palestine campaign did. There were three battles for Gaza, you see, before we get, that was in 1917, all in 17. And the damn fools until Allenby came and took over, there was a damn... a great big mosque in Gaza overlooking our old battlefield. Every place we had, they could see from there. And I saw blokes, actually, behind their own line when I was in the trenches, say, in Gaza there. I looked back and I could see a bloke come out 2 or 3 miles away and start signalling in Morse to this damned mosque there. And when that Mallenby shelled it, knocked it over, that was in December of 18 or something. He knocked it over. I found the range guard actually that those Turks were using. There was a range guard amongst all the debris, you know, this was in October. I went in a mule to have a look at it. Bloody mule, I'll walk through anything I will. And this mule carried me right through there. And there was this range card laying amongst the muck there. There was no argument about that. They were using the musket for that purpose. That's what they were doing. There was no argument about that. As I say, matter of fact, I found the range card. There was enough evidence for me. Oh, they used they were very good with their artillery, and they didn't have much of it. That's what they did. They didn't know how to use it, and they bloodied us all right. Their 6-inch guns over the slide. They caused us a hell of a load of casualties with those. Of course, it was quite a long campaign, that was.
Do you think that things improved once Allenby got a hold of them?
Oh, he did, undoubtedly. Yes.
Did you ever see him? Did he inspect you?
I did. I saw Allenby, and he gave me a pat on the back when I went to the Duke of Connaught. Decorated me in here with a bloody medal and a... And he patted me on the back, said, good lad. He was sitting on the table, dangling his leg on the table, and as we went in. And
what was he like? Big man?
Big man. And we had to march past him when we took Jerusalem. We had to march past him. He stood, was a great big fellow and a great big horse standing there. And we had to go by him. Of course, he wanted to see the troops, what they were like after the battles at Gaza and that. And we went by him, and that was where after Jerusalem was captured, of course.
So he was a popular general, was he?
Oh, he was, undoubtedly he was. About anyone that was, in my opinion.
Yeah. What did you think of all the other ones who'd been before him?
Not much.
Do you remember what the men at Gallipoli thought of Sir Ian Hamilton?
Well, Ian Hamilton, he was a relic of the Boer War, really. They gave him the job, I suppose he was the most experienced man they had at that time. But that was about the size of it, I should think. Well, I suppose he did his best, but he didn't do very well. Couldn't do better than he did.
Do you remember if he ever came round the lines in Gallipoli?
No, he didn't. He never came round the lines. And
what do you think it was in particular that made Gallipoli such a bad time?
I don't know. I suppose it was the mere fact it was such a rough and ready house, and that was it. And what's more, of course, the weather conditions were bad. The weather in the summer was shocking. We had millions of flies all and the corpses laying all over the place, and these damn flies feeding on them and coming and then into our cups of coffee or tea we was having, and we were doing this all the time. We were trying to have a drink of tea, we'd be doing that. And that's how it was. These blasted flies, millions and millions of them. There was no way of stopping them, of course.
What about the dust? Was there a lot of dust in the summer as well?
Dust?
And sand blowing about?
No, not so much that way, of course. No, we didn't have so much in that way. We had the main trouble, of course, was the snipers and all that, but he was... The Turks had a damn good sniping corps, they did. And they cost us a damn lot of people. They nearly got old Harding East showing off. He said to me, he'd just come off. Come back out of hospital and come back to Gallipoli, and he said to me, show me round the line, to show you. So I took him round, we got round the Aguilderi, and as we went along this place, he jumped up on the side, on the parapet, and of course there was a Turk sniper waiting for him, boom, and it just missed him. He'd have had him, but he missed him by that much.
Was that the main danger? Was the sniping worse than the shelling?
Yes. It was. There was a more danger from snipers than was shells. They were very careful with their shells, so you didn't have too many until Bulgaria came in the war. And then that let the shells come through. That was when the first thing I knew was when the Bulgarians came in, I got brand new shells all painted, all lovely painted. Came from Germany, of course, right through Bulgaria and to the Turk batteries. That's why I knew it, just when I saw this bloody brand new shell come over there. No, that's it, the Bulgarians are in, and they were. They nearly got me once. When was it? When we were advancing once, we got to the top of the hill, and I bet I'm the only bloke's ever seen a shrapnel shell in flight stop and it discharge and then go, because it bursts just... You wouldn't believe it. I could see it in person. No further than that. Only, of course, only go forward as shrapnels do. And it bursts like that. And bonk. And all the discharge hit a Red Cross wagon down on the other side. But it just deafened me in the ear. That's the only thing that happened. It was wicked, though. It was a spine. But as I say, I bet I'm one of the few blokes ever seen a shrapnel shell in flight. Because I saw it come over and it stopped there a second it's a fraction of a second when it stopped and then exploded and chucked the lot out, and that was it.
Did you have a lot of narrow escapes?
Oh, the bags of my... Good God, it was a... When I went into the attack after we landed, I had it was like a beehive as I went down the outside. It was blinking bullets all over the place, and a bullet took the eyepiece off my field glasses. And I had a compass on my belt in a leather case. So a bullet through that. A bullet through my arm over my coat, and I wasn't scratched. I never got a scratch in that attack. And I went through, and I laid out there all night. Down on a hillside, covering, well... a load of wounded blokes behind me. That's what was my job that night. That's why I laid out there all night. And with a burnet there waiting for them on a goat track. It was the only way they could come up the goat track. And of course, the trouble was with that. It was so, well, you know what the foliage is like and delivery. And it's, the shells set fire to it. And all our blokes was laying out there wounded were getting burned by it. Yeah, it was pretty murderous, that was.
Do you remember in that the fight just after you landed, was it well organised or badly organised?
What was that?
The attack that you took place in just after you landed.
Well,
did you know what you were supposed to
do? Oh,
yes.
All we knew was we were coming up against the Turks, of course, and bloody the Turk army, of course, was dug in, all waiting for us already. That was the trouble. And, of course, we came up a load. They seemed to load their trenches up with blokes. And we didn't stand an earthly. It was a proper... We were just a shooting match for the Turk army. That's all we were. We got a bit of in ourselves, but not much. They bled us good and proper.